Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. This morning, we're going to read about the purpose. Now, this morning, we conclude our three-part Christmas series. It's been on the promise, the present, and the purpose. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the promise, how from the very beginning of time and all through the prophets of the Old Testament, God promised to send the Messiah, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Last night, we read about the present, how God finally fulfilled his promises when he gave to us his present, the greatest gift of all, the gift that keeps on giving when 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, what we read last night, and she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, wasn't Joseph's son because Jesus is the Son of God, wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, this morning we're going to read about the purpose, why Jesus came to earth to take on human flesh. Now, we know in a very generalized way, a very broad overview, why Jesus came. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, Jesus said of himself, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." And we were all born lost. In fact, we were all born dead in our sins and our trespasses. And Jesus came to save that which is lost. Well, that's the general idea. That's the overviewing, the overarching principle. But there are more particulars concerning the purpose, his reason for coming. And we're going to look at that this morning. And so why don't you turn with me there to Luke chapter 2, verse 21, where we read, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her, Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.' And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he," Simeon, "took him," Jesus, "up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Israel.'" So again, we're looking at the purpose for the birth of Jesus Christ. Many of us are very familiar with many of the details of his birth. Mary and Joseph traveled about 100 miles from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. There Mary brought forth her son, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then the angelic host announced the birth of the blessed blesser to the shepherds who were watching their flocks by night. They all came and worshiped Jesus and went forth preaching that salvation had been born. Well, now we come to the purpose. Why Jesus came to earth and took on human flesh? Why he died on the cross and then rose from the dead? This morning we're going to read about an event that took place when Jesus was only 40 days old, when some of the particulars of his purpose were then revealed. Now, in verses 21 through 38, we read about Simeon and Anna prophetically proclaim. Simeon and Anna prophetically proclaim. Verse 21. And when 8 days, so Jesus is now 8 days old, when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, according to the law of Moses, all baby boys were to be circumcised on their 8th day. Jesus fulfilled the law even as a little baby. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, later on, Jesus would say, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus did for us what we could not do for yourselves. I would ask you to raise your hand, but please don't. How many of you think that you're a good person, that you've been good enough to get into heaven? Do not raise your hands, because now you're a liar at that point. We could not keep the law perfectly. When you begin to read even just the Ten Commandments, that small section of the law, you realize very quickly that you, that I, we all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Well, the soul who sins shall surely die. We're all headed for hell at that point. Good luck. Have a nice day. Merry Christmas, y'all. I'm out. No. God knew this, and therefore Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it on our behalf. He kept what we could not keep, that we might become in him what we never could be on our own. When Jesus was circumcised on that 8th day, he was officially given the name Jesus, Yehoshua, Joshua, simply in the Hebrew, Jesus in the Greek, meaning God is salvation. It was the name that the angel told Joseph to give to him. That's it for 8-day-old baby Jesus. Now you fast forward about 32 days, and we come to verse 22. Now when the days of her, Mary's, purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought to him brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, this is all referring to something in the Old Testament law there in Leviticus chapter 12. After bearing a son, a woman was ceremonially unclean for a period of 40 days. Now, if she bore a daughter, she was ceremonially unclean for guess how many days? 80 days, twice as long for a girl giving birth to a girl than for giving birth to a boy. Why? Why twice as long for a girl? Well, here's a couple of suggestions. Number one, girls are much more precious than little boys. Or it takes women twice as long to get ready for anything than it does a boy. Let the men say under their breath, amen. But when a mom's... Yeah, you try telling these jokes. Everybody's a critic. When a mom's unclean days ended, the parents would bring their child to the temple to sacrifice. They were supposed to sacrifice a 1-year-old lamb and either a young pigeon or turtle dove. But if they were poor, they could bring in 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And that's what Joseph and Mary brought. You know why? Because they were poor. Simply put, they were poor. They were working class people. Once again, like we mentioned many times last night, we see the approachability of God, how he made himself available to all. There's nothing about his birth, his parents, the place where he was born, the announcement of the angels to the shepherds. There's nothing about that that anyone would say, well, I can't go there. That's for the rich and famous. That's for the high and mighty. No, everything about the birth of Jesus tells the whole world, come to me. All are welcome. All are included if you will just come to me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace, God giving us what we don't deserve, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, I mean, Jesus is God, forever was, forever will be. He created all things. All things were made through him. If he wanted something that he didn't have, all he'd have to do is speak it into existence. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, that's you.
Not me.
Oh yeah, you. For your sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That by faith in Jesus, you become co-heirs with Christ. And one day, God is going to reward you, and your reward is going to be out of this world. It's going to be eternal in the heavens. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing to become poor, that we through faith in him might become rich in heavenly things. Now, Joseph and Mary bring Jesus, 40-day-old Jesus, to the temple. There are a lot of other mommies and daddies and babies that day, but the Holy Spirit spoke to a man named Simeon and said, there's one particular kid you need to go and see. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was, notice, just and devout. Why? I think the next part of this verse reveals why. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Why was he just? Why was he devout? I think he had these two things going for him that made him just and devout. Number one, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Number two, he was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit was upon him. You and I, we become just and devout when we fix our eyes on the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've noticed, but things in our culture, in this world, even in our own country, don't seem to really care much about God. You notice that? Or am I the only one who's noticed that? Well, what's the cure? The cure is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Jesus. He's the only cure for all the ills that not just our culture and our country, but that the entire world is suffering under right now. The disease is sin. It's not who's in political power. The issue is sin. The love of money, the root of all evil. And sin, it's wickedness, it's evil, it's immorality. There's only one cure for that. And that's faith in Jesus Christ. And the world has rejected the Lord. That's why he's coming back to judge it. But we have our eyes fixed on the consolation, not just of Israel, but of the entire world, that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And then he's going to rule and reign. He's going to be large and in charge. And then we will see truth and righteousness throughout the entire world. But the second thing that Simeon had going for him was the Spirit was upon him. We're told, do not be drunk with wine. Don't get wasted, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's an everyday occurrence. When we wake up in the morning, Lord, I need you. Holy Spirit, please come upon me. Please fill me to overflowing. Do your thing, God. I absolutely need your power in my life. And if we fix our eyes on the second coming of Jesus, if we are asking the Lord to fill us, then we too will be just and devout. It had been, verse 26, revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, so there's Simeon, he's in the temple already, he's there in the temple precincts, and all of a sudden here come Joseph and Mary's carrying little baby, 40-day-year-old Jesus. Simeon's like, oh, the Spirit says to him, that's the one. And he makes a beeline for Jesus. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For I'm ready to die now, God, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In other words, Simeon said, I've seen your salvation. I'm ready now to die. Which is true, for once a person has received Jesus as their Savior and Lord, they are ready to die. If you haven't asked Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, you are not ready to die. And you need to avoid death at all costs. I think it's funny too. No, I don't. But the solution is simple. Just confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead. And according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you will be saved. Period. It's that simple. Then you're ready to die. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, we are confident, yes, well-pleased rather. This is for the believer, the Christian. Well-pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When a believer dies, they go to be present with the Lord. Earlier in that chapter, it says we don't want to be disembodied spirits. We don't want to be Casper the Friendly Ghost floating around. That will not happen. When you leave this body, you receive a brand new heavenly body that Jesus has been preparing for you. And I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to that body. More up here, less back here. You know what I'm saying? Waiting for the Lord to come back to do a marvelous work. Notice in verses 30 and 31 here in Luke 2 how Simeon gives us some particulars about God's purpose. First of all, he says, Jesus, who is salvation. Also, he calls Jesus a light to the Gentiles. And then also the glory of Israel. God's purpose for Jesus coming to earth is to be the Savior of both Gentiles and Jews, non-Jews and Jews alike. Christmas is not only about baby Jesus, but is also about his great purpose to truly save us from our sins. Luke 9, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So Simeon makes these incredible purpose statements about Jesus, that he is salvation, light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I mean, they had no idea this was going to happen. And all of a sudden, here's this strange man, takes the baby out of Mary's arms and makes these wonderful prophetic statements. And then he wasn't finished. Then he turns to them and he blessed them, verse 34, and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Here are a couple of more purpose particulars. Notice in verse 34, he says that Jesus is destined for the fall and rising of many. Jesus is the difference between heaven and earth. And hell. In John chapter 3, verse 36, we read, he who believes in the Son, if you believe in Jesus, you've trusted him as your Savior and Lord, you have everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Jesus is the difference between heaven and hell. Now, Jesus proved this claim because he did rise from the dead. So he's for the rising and fall of many. Question, will you rise with him or will you fall forever from him? The second particular in verse 34 is the phrase, and for a sign that will be spoken against. The sign, I believe the sign is his resurrection, which many people speak against by not believing in him. When a person does not believe in Jesus, they are assuming that Jesus' death and resurrection are of no value to them, that work of Jesus was unnecessary. So by unbelief, They speak against the sign of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then another particular in verse 35, Simeon tells Mary herself, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. When Jesus was on the cross, thank you for the emphasis. When Jesus was on the cross, Mary was standing there at the foot watching the whole thing. And don't you know, can't you imagine that when the soldier shoved the spear into Jesus' side, that just ripped her heart apart, pierced her heart to the very core. Then the next particular, verse 35, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Jesus' death and resurrection reveals people's hearts. Some speak against it. They consider it unnecessary. But others like myself and you here today, we view the cross and the empty tomb as everything. It's everything for us. Nothing else matters but the cross of Christ and his empty tomb. By the way, the cross itself, we don't need a dead Jesus. We need an alive Jesus. His resurrection is everything. Some speak against it. Some speak for it. What say you? So Simeon exalts Jesus, the Savior, the light of the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. But that's just one witness. And according to the law of Moses, how many witnesses must you have to prove a case? Two or more. And so the Holy Spirit then stirred the soul of an elderly lady named Anna. Now, verse 36. Now, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. And when we do a little bit of math here in just a second, boy, howdy. She was very, very old. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So when she was a young girl, maybe 12, 13, 14, 16, 18 at the oldest, she got married. And she was married for 7 years. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. So apparently after she had been married for 7 years, her husband died. And she remained a widow for the next 84 years. And notice, she did not depart from the temple. She became a permanent fixture there at the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You know, I don't mean to sound snarky, but I think her ministry to the Lord was more valuable than the priests, who really did not love God. They hated Jesus and went through the motions and the rituals. But this woman, she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You want to do something for God? Begin here. Fastings and prayers night and day. Oh, how that touches the heart of God. Something that he rewards greatly. Notice, God blessed her with seeing the Savior of Israel and of the world. Because she was there, because she was praying and seeking God. And she blesses Joseph and Mary, and not just them, but multi-millions of people throughout history, including you and me. And coming in verse 38, that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna was a prophetess. A prophet or a prophetess is one who speaks to men on behalf of God. A message from God to people. It could be foretelling about future events. It could be forthtelling a word for a particular moment and circumstance. And so this woman came in and she is prophesying about who Jesus is. He's the Redeemer. He's the one who has come to pay for the sins of the world. And whoever believes in him will be forgiven of their sins and receive eternal life. If you haven't done so already, I think most, if not all of you have, but if you haven't, come to the one that Simeon and Anna prophesied about, the one whose purpose they particularized, that Jesus is salvation, light to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel, and he's our Redeemer. Now, there are many, many more particulars about Jesus' purpose. Yeah, he came to save us from our sins. He did that. But he also came to bless us in every part of our lives. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. God's great purpose was to give us his only begotten Son. Jesus is the greatest gift of all, the greatest giver of all. He is the gift who keeps on giving, both now and particularly in the life to come. But you know, a gift doesn't do anyone any good until it's received. How many of you after this are going to go home and you're going to start passing out gifts and start opening them up? They might look pretty. They're all wrapped up and nice and all, but are they going to do you any good until you take it and open it, begin using it? Jesus is a pretty gift, so to speak, but you need to open up yourself to receive him. Then he will do you good. Have you yet received him as your Savior and Lord? If not, how about today? And those of us who already have, how about we be like Simeon and Anna, that we go tell others about God's purpose for why Jesus came, that we tell others about the true meaning of Christmas, that it's all about the Christ. We read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I tell everybody who will listen, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. We've got to share Jesus with a Christ-rejecting world because they're going to hell and they don't even know it. But God has put people in our lives to reveal to them God's purpose that we've read briefly about here this morning. And as we approach a new year, can't believe this year's already gone by. As we approach a new year, let's redouble our efforts. Let's be even more determined to tell people about Jesus because he's coming back. He's coming back soon, and then it's over. No more opportunity to share about our Lord Jesus, to tell others of his purpose. This is it. So may this year be the year when we tell many, many more people about the purpose for why Jesus came. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word, which is true, it's right, and Lord, we just accept it as it is. We believe in you, Jesus, because we know that faith in you results in eternal life, and also faith in you results in you abiding in us right now and helping us through every moment of every day and loading us with benefits and just taking care of us, Lord, and we thank you for the great care you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that our relationship with you is personal, it's real, and it's forever. You have fulfilled your promises. You are the present, and we understand a little bit better now some of the purposes for which you came. Now, Lord, help us to go forth, to tell the world, to celebrate, yes, your birth and also your soon return, but to go tell the world about you before it's too late. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's kids said,
Amen.
Amen. Shall we stand for a closing song?